Now we're going, hey folks, it's Friday night, and guess what? I'm here speaking to you, so you can't run, you can't hide, you can't use excuse saying, oh, my internet disconnected me, whatever, because, hey, I'm not going to fly for that, you know what? Because it's Friday night, I'm glad that you're here, it is a wonderful day, you know, praise God that He's given us another day. It's like a prayer me and my wife pray in the morning, that we ask God, you know, to give us the strength, the courage to go about and doing, you know, His business and, you know, and give us the wisdom so we can portray Jesus. And we also thank Him for giving us today because, again, we all know what Scripture says. We're not promised tomorrow. We only live for today. Amen. So I'm glad you're here, folks. You know, I was sitting here listening to the music and I told the gang, you know, we have many ways that we get inspired. You know, a lot of times when I'm sleeping, I got a tablet by my bed, I get inspired, I write down stuff. Reading scriptures, I get inspired. When I'm talking to y'all, I get inspired. I'm inspired. When I'm sitting alone, I get inspired. And just today, just a while ago, I was listening to the music with my eyes closed, and I just got inspired for another message. I'm going to try to see if I can get something together with this title for next week, but not. It's going to be a message. It's called Different Turn. And I was just thinking about our lives. You know, I'm sure many of us have seen that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, with James Stewart. And he tells Clarence the Angel, you know, well, I wish I'd never been born. And Clarence goes, you know, that's not a bad idea. So he changes everything around like he's never been born. And come to find out, the character finds out he really did have a wonderful life, considering the life that he had. You know, so that's why I was thinking, you know, what would our lives would have been like if we not, or if we had rejected Jesus? You know, I just started thinking about that. You know, most like me, with my lifestyle the way I was, I'd probably be dead. You know, that's just the way I would be. I'd be dead. So, anyway, I want y'all to think about something. Has anyone, I'm sure we all can agree with this, has anyone experienced a terrible onslaught from the enemy lately? If we had a camera, you'd see me raising my hand up. Have you received an onslaught in the last several days? How about weeks? Months? Or better, worse? Well, I don't want to say better yet, but worse, years. I'm sure we can all agree we've been having such terrible onslaughts from the enemy. Now, many times for me, folks, it's been difficult. I'm not going to stand here and paint a pretty picture to you and say, hey, I'm Superman, I'm super preacher, I got it all together. You know, and on Wednesday night, men's group, you know, we do prayer requests, and the pastor asked for Jim, you got any prayers? And I was kind of like a deer in the headlight. Looks like, well, really? No, I don't, because right now I'm kind of chilling. And I hated to say that because, you know, I'm chilling and, you know, it seemed like, you know, I'm in a calm sea. But usually when I say that, guess what? All heck breaks loose. And I was kind of like a little afraid to say, oh, I'm good, you know, but, you know, I just don't want nothing to happen. But, you know, again, it happens, you know. And that's why I say sometimes whenever I experience my onslaught from the enemy, it's been difficult for me. It really has. You know, and I ran across some ministers, and I don't know why they say this. You know, I mean, we're all supposed to be brothers and sisters. But us ministers or preachers, we have a brotherhood too. But a lot of them, you know, I talk to, I sometimes think they're not sincere because they say, Jim, you know, you can't tell that to your congregation. You can't tell that to the people that you shepherd. You can't let them know that, you know, you're having a difficult time, that everything's going bad for you, whatever, and all that stuff. Because, you know, you got to be there to encourage them. And I get that. As a leader, a minister, a preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call it, I get that. I am supposed to help you in your journey, help you in your walk with Christ. But if I can't be honest enough to let you know that, hey, I deal with difficulties just as much as you do, and I sometimes need to talk to other people. If I can't tell you this, then we're not being honest with ourselves, you know, because I feel I want to be honest like this, so that way we can develop a much more binding, a trust. That way you can say, you know what, the pastor understands. He understands. And he's having a difficult time, so maybe I need to pray for him. Maybe I need to help him. Maybe I need to talk to him. But see, to me, a lot of times whenever I'm you know, I guess these battles or these difficulties or these trials or these testings or whatever, it seems like to me sometimes it seems like that I'm just going backwards more than I am going forwards. That's what it seems like. Does it seem like that to y'all sometimes? Sometimes you go more backwards than you do forward. And sometimes to me, this is quite alarming, you know, because it kind of frightens me because, you know, when I'm in a deep struggle, it seems like, you know, I just don't get out of that rut, man. I start getting a little bit like, you know, man, what, I kind of get a little nervous. And yet, though, a lot of times, and I guess you can relate to this, when I'm feeling despaired about the situation I am in those times, I think to me, this is what I think now. This is just me. You know, when I'm in despair during those situations at those times, what the Lord does, he shows me that he is actually working out a refinement. He's pruning. We don't like pruning now. And sometimes chastising, but also what he's mainly doing in all this process, if you really think about it, he's forming the character of Jesus Christ in us. Think about it. See, many times as I think it over, when I'm going through or have gone through this process of those trials and testings, that the character of Christ is formed within me. Now, when someone is worshiping and in the presence of the Lord, it's easy to say, Lord, I come to the cross. But when we truly have to face the cross, part of us doesn't want to go through that long, drawn out process. We don't like it. Well, at least to me, many times, it's been a very, very long and drawn out process for me. But the way of the cross is the way that every child of God must go. Do you get that? The way of the cross is the only way for you and I to go. No other way. There's no other way around it. And it's a lonely place at those times that many of us would not like to face. We don't like to be there. We don't want to be in that place sometimes like that. For all of us who does go through this process, just remember this. It all comes with a price. It all comes with a price. So if you got your Bibles with you, the verses will be posted here for you to read. But I always say, if you got your Bibles, let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And it reads this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never wasted or not in vain in the Lord. Folks, when you endure, when you're going through those trials, be steadfast. Your faith, your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight to submit ourselves to you and your authority. And first of all, if there's anything within me I have not confessed to you throughout the day or something I may have allowed into my life, or thoughts, or something I may have done or said or whatever, please forgive me where I've fallen short of your precious glory. Your glory is precious. Sometimes I don't see it that way, and I should. So I ask of you to strengthen me and encourage me, to lift me up and keep me on the steadfast path. Show me what I must do. Father, my prayer now has been asking this. Help me see your will. I must decrease in order for you to increase. A lot of times, I was always wanting my will to be done. But you know what? I think what we need to really do is really submit to your will and let your will be done. I know it's difficult. It's hard at times. Man, we face so much ups and downs. But through it all, you're always there with us. You're always there to remind us. And even though when we reflect and look back, we can always see your son in it, if we're honest with ourselves. So give us the strength, the courage we need to continue to keep doing your business. Bless those who are here tonight. As I always say, they could have been elsewhere, could have went down their own little thing, but they showed faith by showing up. And I admire that. So bless them and their homes and their families and their loved ones. Bless them in their difficulties. Help them whatever they may be facing. And give them guidance and wisdom and confidence that they need. Father, we all want to praise you. We want to glorify you. We all want to say this. In Jesus' name, thank you very much for loving us, watching over us, and taking care of us. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. My brother, he posted this a little while ago when we was talking in chat, you know, the title of this message, "And Everything Precious Has Its Price." Now, part of this was an old sermon that was worked on by me, but it was piecemeal from a few other people too, because sometimes I piecemeal sermons. You know, I led to this way, and I'm led to that way, and I'm led to this way. So I copy here, copy there, paste here, paste there, whatever. And I found this, it was dated back all the way to 2006. You know, and I found that, you know, kind of funny, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't even a minister yet. I wasn't quite not even a full-time teacher, and yet I was working on sermons, but, you know, apparently the Lord knew what he was doing back then, so thank God. But he led this to me, and then I started, you know, in my experience that I just went through and all I've gone through, you know, and that's what led me to finish the rest of it. So that's why, again, folks, I titled this message, "And Everything Precious Has Its Price." And with every beautiful rose, there are thorns. And with every precious gain, there is sacrifice. Precious things, beautiful things, are always followed by many challenges, and there is a price to be paid. When you have determined to walk closely with the Lord, you will experience hardships, persecution, mistreatment, slinging out, unfairness, being misunderstood, face criticism, people will shun you, fail to acknowledge you, or even give you the cold shoulder. We all experience that, I believe. So when this happens, and sometimes it is difficult, as I said a little bit earlier, when this happens to us, keep walking closely with the Lord, no matter what, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard, how difficult, or how troublesome, or how anguished you are about what's going on with you, walk with the Lord and then walk closely with him. Usually, folks, there's always a reason why this happens. But there's a lesson we always learn. Now look, I'm not trying to downplay this or paint a bad picture for us. Please don't think that way. Because sometimes, you know, I have found out later, many people kind of didn't like some of my sermons. And I said, well, Jim, you know, you got a hard saying. Well, Jim, you're kind of really tough. You know, Jim, you're kind of brutal in your messages. You know, well, you know, we was talking about in Sunday school class the other day, Jesus, he didn't pull no punches with people neither. And contrary to a lot of people want to paint the God of love, he was all love, he was all compassion, he was all, yes, he was all those things, but he also was straightforward and to the point, and he didn't pull no punches, nor did he beat around the bush. And we was talking about one of those hard sayings on Wednesday nights about how God has blinded the eyes of many, though they could not see. And we kind of, you know, threw that around in our discussion group. You know, well, wait a minute. You know, here's all these people talking about the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, but yet he intentionally blinded the eyes of these people so they could not see. Well, why would God do that? You see, that's why, again, folks, you know, whenever I say things like this, I'm not trying to paint a bad picture for us, but I'm trying to get us to think, to really be honest. But see, the Lord releases his awesome power in you to do great works for him. You get that? He releases his awesome power in you to do great works. But guess what? When he does that, the enemy will assign demons to follow you around in an attempt to hinder you at every turn. I think you can understand this, because a lot of times whenever you start getting right on track, you start doing the right things for the Lord is going to use you in other areas. Man, things just seem like to happen. Flat tires. Car won't start. Beth experienced that last week, you know, when money got taken out of their account. We all experienced something. It seemed like, you know, woohoo, man, yeah, God's using me, but then bam, something seemed like just to go wrong. Folks, I'm telling you, when God does that to us, the enemy will assign demons to follow us and try to attempt to hinder us from doing the Lord's work. Now, I thought about this at this particular point in writing this message. I'm thinking, well, okay, why? Why? You know what? We all come up with answers. Ministers, teachers, preachers, evangelists, they come up with great answers. Scriptures also tells us why, if you're really willing to look for it. But I sat here and I thought about it. When this happened, why? Why? Well, Lord, if you're going to use me for this and that, but yet they are attacking me. They're making it difficult for me. They're making it hard for me. Man, a lot of times I'm struggling. I'm getting beat up. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. You may already know. But the main reason for this is because the enemy cannot stand to see you happy in the Lord. The enemy cannot stand it to see you happy in the Lord. He cannot stand it to see you walking under his glory. He cannot stand it to see you so strong in the Lord. He will rather cause you to be down and in the dumps and have your mind not set on God and cause you to lose focus on him and focus more on your demise. Because see, that's all he's good for. He already knows that he is lost and what his outcome will be. He already knows that. So he would rather for you to fall away from God and drag you into his hell also. That's what he would rather do. But the good news is, hey, we got good news. Oh, yeah, folks, this is good news. God's grace is sufficient in any or every battle you face. Woo-hoo. Just remember, friends, You are not destined for defeat. You're not. No matter how dark the valley gets, no matter how cold the winter seasons in your life gets, no matter how frightening the wilderness gets, no matter how heavy the load gets, look, folks, and please know that victory is guaranteed, and the best thing of all, we have won. How do we know this? How do we know that we won? Well, Paul himself experienced persecution constantly, and in the wilderness for him was a very familiar place. How so? Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 says. And I like this, how Paul puts it. He says this, and we can all relate to this. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What this is telling us, folks, in God's words, that we can find comfort in the safety of God's protection if, now this is if, it's an action word, a big word here, we can find safety of God's protection if you and I learn a few things of how the enemy operates. Now, I hung there for a reason. Think about that. If we learn a few things of how the enemy operates, we can always find comfort and safety in God's protection. But at times, guess what? We get like that frail little scared fraidy cat, or that scared little rabbit, or scared chicken, or whatever. Sometimes we like to run, hide, bellyache, boo-hoo, self-pity parties, be down in the dumps, beat oneself up, and on and on and on and on. You see, we're falling trapped to Satan's tricks. That's it. When we get into those modes, that's what we're doing. We're falling into his traps, his tricks. When in fact, he doesn't want you and I to know he is defeated, we are not. We won. We won. Because, you know, again, if you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, I forgot to tell you this, Lisa, but again, if you look at that particular passage, I like that. You know, there's so many good things in God's words if we seek it out. Seek and you shall find. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 said, therefore there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So therefore, folks, you and I are not condemned. And if we're feeling condemned because we're under these so-called attacks or whatever, we're doing it to ourselves, and we're basically doing the enemy's work. Don't you get that? When we start condemning ourselves, we're doing his work for him. He's kind of laughing at us sometimes. Well, Jimmy's making it a little bit easier. Because look, he's already condemning himself because he's already not really trusting his Savior. Or he ain't believing what the Word says. I got that boy on the run. But we do it to ourselves, don't we? I mean, I got my hand up. How about you? No, okay, I got one taker. There we go. All right. See, y'all being honest. But see what I'm going with this? But the most important thing we need to learn of how the enemy operates. The most important. Y'all heard this verse too. And what we need to learn most important is this. That the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I know that's verse 5, 8 somewhere in Peter, but that's what it says. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See? The more you do for God, the greater anointing you carry. And the greater the effort of the enemy is going to do to discourage you. And he is very strategic. He is. Now please know that the devil does not bother any individuals who are not a threat to his kingdom of darkness. Only those who were taken away from him and brought into God's kingdom and saved. That's when you and I become a threat to him. That's when we become a threat to him, when we are brought into the light, when we are brought into God's kingdom. And my friends, anything that God loves, the enemy hates and will attack. Anything that God loves, including you, the enemy hates and will attack. Why? Because it's a threat to his kingdom. And the biggest reason your relationship with the Lord is this. Your relationship to Jesus is the greatest threat to his kingdom. Think about that one. See, your family is a threat to his kingdom. Your marriage is a threat to his kingdom. Your church that you attend, it's a threat to his kingdom. Your community, it's a threat to his kingdom. You see what I'm saying here? Because you have decided to follow Jesus. And because of that, you are a threat to him. So friends, continue to labor in prayer for these things. Remember this. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Which is it? Are you willing to pay the price in prayer and obedience to see deliverance? Are you willing to pay that price? To see deliverance? It's all up to you. It's all up to you. Because quality in life with Christ requires labor, sacrifice, prayer, but most of all, faith in the real living God. Faith in the real living God. The saints of old would say something like this: anything worth having is worth working for and waiting for. And at this point, when I thought about this, I'm reminded of what Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says. Great verse. You're going to see it. But Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. But let's stop here, folks. Since it's posted for you to read, I want you to do one thing. Replace the name Daniel with your name. And let's read it again out loud. But put your name in its place. Then he said to me, do not fear, Jimmy. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Make that personal. Your words were heard. You see, folks, Daniel prayed. And if you really read the chapter, you know, if you study it, Daniel prayed and made a request of God. God heard and granted the request, but if you noticed that the delivery was delayed. I suggest if you really didn't see it, go back and study it again. When he made that request, the delivery was delayed. And guess what happened? Daniel became discouraged. Guilty. I'm guilty. I prayed. And I became discouraged at times. Still do. You see, some things that you've been believing God for has already been granted or done. It has. It's been granted or done from the time that you prayed sincerely in faith. But the enemy may have blocked the deliverance. He may have. Because sometimes you may have taken your eyes off the Lord. Been there, done that. See, when I went to pray, and sometimes when it didn't seem like it was coming, guess what my eyes started to do? It started wandering. Yeah, I took it off of Jesus. And therefore, I hindered my own prayer, my own deliverance. Well, the other hindrance could have been, maybe you had a lot of doubt when you was praying. So, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, I don't know. I'm going to pray at God, but I'm just getting frustrated. I'm getting disappointed. God, I'm hurting down here, and it seems like nothing's happening. Everyone else is prospering but me. Or it could have been a reason why it might have been delayed. God may have allowed the enemy to do so in order to see where you would stand, or to see if you're willing to pay the price. You ever thought about that? But God always dispatches an angel to war and release your blessings in his time. His time, not yours, his. Hold on. And the reason I'm telling you to hold on is this. The most difficult price we have to pay is waiting for the time of delivery. Whew, what? Let me repeat this so there be no misunderstanding. The most difficult price that you and I have to pay is waiting for the time of delivery. Now hold on and be strong. God has not forgotten you. God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. Everything precious has its price. Wait on God, folks. Wait. Don't you mess it up. Don't mess it up. Everything precious has a price. Wait on God, please. Don't mess it up. I forgot where I heard this from, but someone once told me this years and years ago. You may have heard this saying too also, but I forgot the person who said this to me. He said to me, Jim, in order to get to it, you got to go through it. In order to get to your blessings, in order to get to your victory, in order to get through whatever you're getting through, you got to go through it.
Wow.
Sometimes I don't want to go through it. How about you? I would rather do 180 and run somewhere else. Think about old Jonah. Y'all know him very well. He was told to go to Nineveh and preach. Yeah, right. I don't like them folks. I hate them. I ain't going there. I'm getting out of Dodge. Boy, he got hopped on a boat, and y'all know the story after that. He had to go through it. He had to do it in the belly of a whale, a fish, or a giant sea creature, whatever you want to call it. He had to go through it. You got to get to it. In order to get to it, you got to go through it, folks. No ifs, no buts. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Everyone does not pay the same price. Nope, we all don't. Each one of us has a different cross we must bear. Because Luke chapter 9, verse 22 says this. I'm going to grab some water. Each of us has a different cross to bear, because Luke chapter 9, verse 22 says this. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily? See, I found this quote on the internet, and I don't know, maybe y'all might have heard this person, but I never heard him. I was just looking for some quotes. But I found this quote on the internet from some person named Rod Loy, L-O-Y. And he said this: don't ever desire someone else's accomplishments unless you first discovered the price. Don't ever desire someone else's accomplishment until you first discovered the price. Because Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14 says this. That's another verse that we all should know by heart. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. But the gate is very narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are very few. You have the same time as everyone else, folks. So pay a price to get the most out of your time. Because Dwight Eisenhower once said this: choose the pain of discipline and sacrifice, or you will get the pain of regret. Wow, really? Friends, there are no victory at bargain prices. No, we can't get victory at cheap prices. Nuh-uh. We can't go to, and I'm sure y'all have it all around the place, because they pop up like, you know, weeds, the Dollar Tree or the Dollar General or the Dollar Store. But there's no cheap price for your victory. There's no bargain prices for your victory. But pay the price, and you will feel good. Not saying this in a bad way, though. When you don't reach your potential, it may be because it's always a payment issue. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to count the cost? If you're not, don't get upset when you don't get what you want. Don't get upset when you do have to pay the price. You get this? See, for us to have a successful journey through life with Christ, You must continuously pay a price. Oh yeah, the flesh, it wants ease. It wants the easy way out. The devil wants defeat. All the world wants compliance with its standards, rules, laws. And if you don't hold on, you will fail to reach your greatest potential when you fail to pay a price. Hold on to Jesus, folks. Hold on to Jesus. Squeeze him tightly. Don't let him go. You see, I know, I think about this sometimes. When I was a little bitty old runt trying to try out for football, look, these kids were bigger than me. They used to knock me down flat on my back. But you know, one thing I was like, you know, and I don't know if you encountered them where you live at, but down here in the swamp, we got these big old snapping turtles, and they claim, man, once they bite you, they don't let go. Well, I was a little bitty old thing, but I used to grab around those big kids' waist or their legs, and man, I held on for dear life, and they had to drag and drag and drag me and drag me, and that slowed them down, but I didn't let go. Hold on to Jesus when you're fighting, when you're enduring, when you're going through trials, when you're going through testing, when you're going through valleys, folks. Pay that precious price. Pay it. And I want to encourage you, most of all, above all things, don't give up on God. Don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on the community. Don't give up on a dream or the vision that God has given you. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up the ship. Never retreat. Never surrender to the enemy. Stand your ground and don't let the enemy speak to you. Realize who you are. And I found this quote and another person's message while looking around for quotes, and it said this, that this person has always ended his prayer with, and I thank you that it is done in Jesus' name, amen. Folks, oh my dear friends, we got to get a thank you that is done way down deep in our spirits. And when you do it that way, when you get a thank you like that deep, deep, deep down into your spirit, you end up canceling fear and doubt and unbelief. Because victory is guaranteed and everything precious has a price. Everything precious has a price. And with this, your price will never decrease. Every time you succeed, the next challenge gets harder. The criticism gets sharper, and the trials gets hotter. God never promised you and I life would be easy. However, he did promise us peace, power, inner satisfaction. Life is stair-stepping. There is a bigger price for more glory and accomplishments. Your price, friends, will increase when you desire to get better, stronger, or closer to God. So I call upon you tonight to humbly seek the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But do it with your eyes wide open. Call upon the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and do it with your eyes wide open. And last but not least, there will be a price. There will be a price. but it will be worth it. Because the power of God is precious. So with your eyes open to the price and the preciousness of spiritual power, I invite you to seek its fullness from the Lord. I hope something was said in this message. I hope something said in this message ministered to you tonight. I hope it did. It has for me. And I hope it did for you. God bless you. And amen. Let's pray.